This is the Litigation Management Podcast once again. I'm your host, CaseGlide CEO Wesley Todd. And the Litigation Management Podcast is where I interview some of the most successful and influential people in and around litigation management and oftentimes claims management. And as you know, we're going for the big home runs, trying to find the most important, most transformative insights. And we're interviewing people who are working on the piping, the foundation of these industries that feed into litigation, especially claims, especially insurance, so that you can understand how the things that are happening on the front end are going to impact you as adjusters and attorneys and claims executives. And we've had some unbelievable guests and have more lined up. Today on the Litigation Management Pod, I have Alex Meisner, and Alex is the VP of Innovation at Snapsheet. And Alex, I believe, I won't steal his thunder here, but Snapsheet is, you know, one of the most effective claims technology initiatives we've ever seen. They've made tons of progress. They are the crown jewel of the insurance technology space. And there's nobody even close as far as on the claim side. And I wanted to bring Alex on to talk about his background. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, Alex?
Sure thing. Well, thanks for having me, Wes. Really excited to be chatting with you. So my background is really in Snapsheet. Graduated college in 2010, and a very long story short, met our founder and CEO, Brad Weisberg. He actually hired me at another company. He started Body Shop Bids, which was the first version of Snapsheet, if you will. Hired me back in 2010. Body Shop Bids was a two-sided marketplace focused on helping non-insurance accidents. Basically, if you got into an accident and didn't want to go through your insurance carrier, you could download the Body Shop Bids app, submit photos of the damage to your vehicle, in a matter of 24 hours, get a couple estimates from local body shops. Didn't really work out too well, since we quickly learned that insurance is where something like 90 or 95% of auto repairs take place via insurance carriers. So we pivoted the company and focused on optimizing and enhancing the customer experience around the appraisal process for auto damage claims back in 2012. And so we really pioneered the concept of leveraging the power of the mobile phone for customers, allowing them to take photos of the damage to their vehicle and in a matter of hours, receive that insurance appraisal and just expedite the speed of the claim. And so over the years, Snapsheet has really focused on trying to better the claims experience. And as we started working closer with auto insurance carriers and understanding the difficulties of a claims adjuster, we realized there was a need for modern technology that really empowers insurance carriers to have a proactive approach to claims handling. And so if you fast forward to today, we have two sides to the business. We have our software offering, which is an end-to-end claims admin platform, all cloud-based. And then we still operate our virtual appraisal services, which is an outsourced offering for not just auto insurance carriers, but really any company that has a claims organization or claims aspect of their business. So rental car companies, car sharing companies, fleet companies. We help them expedite the appraisal process on that side of the business. But today we'll be talking about our software offering.
That's a great story. And what about you in particular? I know that you didn't start off with a VP title at a company of hundreds and hundreds of people, right? You started off doing, weren't you
employee number one? A little bit of everything. Yeah, so I was Brad's first hire.
Yeah.
So it was just the two of us in the early days, but really was focusing on our customer support, right? Just sort of figuring out how to interact with our insurance carriers, how to support the end customer who's going through the appraisal process, making sure adjusters have the information they need. And so sort of throughout my career at Snapsheet, I've really worked in every department other than engineering, and really like working close with our customers, understanding their needs. So that's really my main focus. Today I'm responsible for our enterprise software customers, in terms of customer success, and then still work closely on the innovation side, trying to understand their problems, bring it back to our engineering team to really help them build out our platform.
It really is a great story to have been there and seen it. I mean, it's just incredible. If you ever, I've been to the office, and it's so impressive, and all the people there, it's so impressive to imagine what it was like when it was just the two of you. Snapsheet has evolved, like you were saying, quite a bit over time, and been successful at every juncture. What are the things that you're personally working on now?
Right now, it's really, my focus has been understanding our customers' problems. That's really what it's all about, is working with our claim system customers, as well as our payments customers, to help them better leverage our platform. You know, our offering is a new cloud-based SaaS offering, which is sort of a different model than a lot of insurance carriers are used to in terms of purchasing software. So it's going to take time, a lot of hand-holding. The system is really geared for self-service administration on the carrier side. So instead of having to rely on engineering teams or third parties to tune the system, we actually give them the power to build workflows, to determine, how they want claims routed, so on and so forth. So a lot of the elements of a claim system that previously required engineering efforts can be done by our users. Typically a business analyst is tuning the system. So really helping them learn how to do that so it fits their needs. And then taking the feedback back to our team in terms of what we can do to enhance the platform, right? Because claims are wild, right? They're not linear. And every day you see a new scenario, a new edge case, and we want to try and solve for those.
That's really interesting, focusing on the problem. So it's tough in your shoes because you have to focus on the problems at every level, but let's just look at like the problems on the front lines, right? I mean, when I say every level, I mean, IT department, executives, like there's things getting in everyone's way. Everywhere. So your pricing has to be good. Your contract has to be good. Your sales has to be good. Your support has to be good. But I think what would be really valuable for this audience, made up of a lot of adjusters, attorneys, and claims execs, is zooming in on those problems. So you have, whether it's auto claim, property claim, and being on the litigation side, we see it. Like we see what happens when those go wrong. So the first thing is, for whatever reason, they may contact someone else before they contact the insurance company, right? Problem number one, whether it's an attorney or some kind of adjuster or chiropractor, I mean, who knows? I mean, and I think that's what the original product got at. And then you have to schedule an inspection or schedule some kind of meeting. I mean, these are all things that I think Snapsheet's tackled one by one, but in the vast majority of insurance companies still are big challenges. And then there's how you communicate, there's how you pay. There's just so many different problems. What are amongst those things? What are the biggest problems that you see, and how does tech come into play there? And then also, what are some of the issues trying to implement tech to solve those problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest problems, which is a catalyst for additional problems further up or downstream, is that traditionally, insurance claims have been reactive. Insurance carriers, adjusters wait for the customer to file the claim. Once that claim is filed, historically, it's a request for information. It takes a long time. And not all claims are the same. You have low severity claims, you have high severity claims, or claims in certain jurisdictions that might have a higher propensity for litigation. And so what we're trying to solve is really how do you take the claims process and make it proactive? How do you leverage technology to complement the adjuster? A lot of what we've seen, especially with the legacy infrastructure, is adjusters spend their time not actually adjudicating claims, but doing non-value-added work, rekeying information across multiple systems. searching information. They're working with multiple tools. So we really want to simplify the claims experience for the adjuster. That's our focus, because if the adjuster is equipped with the right tools, then the customer is going to have a better experience.
What do you find there? You got me curious now. Because the people putting in the software couldn't be further removed, you know, at a lot of these large, you know, publicly traded shops, right? Not to bash them, but it's just you can't run a multi-billion-dollar software company and be on the, you know, understand exactly the adjuster's issues. What kind of chaos do you see with some of these companies, you know, on the legacy platforms? In that regard, I'd be curious, because you talk about rekeying information. I'm just thinking in my head all the different systems that where they might go to get an estimate or might go to request, medical records or might. I mean, it's got to be absolute hell for those adjusters.
Right. I mean, insurance carriers, claim orgs have always relied on a lot of third party vendors, right? On the property side, whether it's to do inspections, water mitigation. Auto side, you have the data aggregators, you have the salvage yards. And what's interesting is there are a lot of behemoths who really have, you know, there's duopolies a lot of the time for each sort of segment. And because of that, insurance carriers haven't had a lot of choices or a lot of variety in the solutions that they're looking for. So they're kind of stuck with, right, one or two different options. And if they're not a friendly, easy to use solution, it's going to impact their infrastructure. And that's why over the years, you've seen insurance carriers tech stacks get complicated, right? That's why they have to rekey, because systems aren't talking to each other. Just like inside of insurance carriers in any organization, there are silos. A lot of the big vendors insurance carriers rely on today have closed platforms, which makes integrations, the ease of doing business that much harder. But luckily, with really the emergence of cloud-based technology, APIs that the industry is leaning into, we're starting to see that change.
On the litigation side, there's, when you think of it that way, it's obvious why there are so many claims that do go to litigation and get out of control. It is reactive, claims management. What's funny, I've heard on several podcasts, I think we've even mentioned it here. It's odd because claims is the actual product of insurance, right? Claims is the product. Like, that's what someone's buying. And for that to be wholly outsourced is one thing, right? I mean, that's, you can do that and you can do that well. And I think you and I would both agree that gives you a lot of flexibility and there's a lot of strength there, but it can't be done well without the right, I think technology is the solution. It's funny how these things persist at this point. And I mean, I can't imagine what the type of things that the adjusters have to go through now with all this, with all these disparate systems. It's funny that you mentioned duopoly. So for those of you that don't know what that means, I'm guessing you mean like there's like two vendors in the space, right? Two engineering firms, two soft claim software, two data firms. I never even really realized that. And what's that do to an insurance company? You're saying they lose leverage and basically now you have to, Now you're kind of at the whim of the process of all your vendors?
I don't know that they lose leverage. I just think that their options in terms of solutions is limited. The prevalence of modern technology for a long time was limited because they relied so heavily on vendors for different aspects of their claims business. I think there's an argument to be made that the end customer experience has been jeopardized because there hasn't been a lot of new entrants until sort of the insurtech revolution came about, leveraging data, leveraging AI, and at the end of the day, claims matter, to your point. And, insurance carriers, haven't really invested in their claim organizations as much as they have invested on the front end in terms of distribution. So, and whether that's a technology investment, a people investment, a training investment, as you know, the industry is sort of facing this this resource issue, right? The a lot of the adjusters who have the knowledge, who have the experience, are retiring. So who's going to replace them? Where does that knowledge live? A lot of the time, it just lives in that person's head. And so that's where these new technologies come into place. You can have workflows, you can drive consistent outcomes without necessarily needing the tribal knowledge that exists today.
Yeah, that's just not how modern billion-dollar businesses work anymore, right? Like billion-dollar, I mean, you can call an insurance company a fintech, I mean, you know, or a fin at least. And I mean, you know, like it's a financial service and they don't rely on a bunch of experts doing manual things. And yeah, I wonder, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a really interesting point you raise about why that's persisted in the insurance industry.
And I think changing. And at the same time, don't get me wrong, insurance carriers are extremely good at what they do. They're very large organizations. They're very good at assessing risk. But I think there's an argument to be made, to your point, as a consumer, you're buying insurance to protect you. The claims process is the product. But you don't really interact with your insurance carrier outside of the claims process. And so there's a lot that can be done to better the customer experience, educate the customer before that claim happens, because the best claim is no claim. Mm.
Yeah, which actually is a good lead in. Well, first of all, I mean, the person that came up with the great idea or the great quote around people paying attention to distribution in InsurTech and not the back end was it Jamie from Snapsheet? He calls it the mullet theory.
Yeah.
That the party is backstage. Everybody's paying attention to the front end, but the party's backstage in the back office with claims. I love that. But what you raise brings a good point. So I want to ask you about what the industry might look like in 10 years from your perspective, that you're able to sort of see some of the transformation going on, some of the InsurTech activity going on. To your point, right? Claims is the experience. Insurance companies are really good at what they're doing, assessing risk, because frankly, if every insurance company has an average claims process, or if 80% of them have an average claims process, then the fact that that's not that efficient or effective doesn't really harm them, because they'll all face the same claim severity fallout, and they all will just charge a different rate. Right. They're all like, there's no, as long as they're all charging the same rate and having the same problems, the expense doesn't really matter, because the expense gets rolled up into a new rate. But what can happen in the future, and I think what there's a lot of bets going on in the InsurTech space, is that expense can be driven down. I think that, to your point, a lot of it is on the front side, going direct to the policyholder rather than through an agent. So they're trying to drive down that expense, but of course also they want to drive it down on the claim side. And if they're successful in doing that, then there actually will be incentive for insurance companies not to just raise their rates, but to have a better claims experience so that there's less severity and less lawsuits. So are you, with that backdrop and your experience, over the past, nearly a decade now, looking at this on the front lines, how do you think the insurance industry looks different in 5 or 10 years than it looks today? And when I mean insurance industry, I mean like the players in the insurance industry, the legacy carriers, the InsurTechs. With that backdrop, what does it look like?
I mean, I think the legacy carriers are here to stay, to be honest. Starting an insurance carrier is very tough. There are some, successful InsurTechs out there who are making waves, the Lemonades of the world. And, they're inspiring the legacy carriers, the incumbents, to work harder, to do better, to improve that customer experience. And we're starting to see it. The digital offerings as it pertains to claims, the ease of submitting a claim, it's all there. So I think 10 years from now, I think it'll look very similar. I think what will be different is the technology that insurance carriers are using. You know, COVID really forced insurance carriers to go virtual, to go remote. So it will be interesting from a claims perspective to see, are adjusters coming back in the office, or is this really the revolution and the digitization of the insurance carriers and the claims process? But I don't think it will look that much different. I think you might, you know, you'll start seeing AI from a claims perspective being woven into the process more holistically. You know, it's hard to insert technology or these new technologies inside of these, you know, existing business processes, the legacy infrastructure, to do that in a way where an insurance carrier gets, you know, reaps the benefits is difficult. And also you have to, you know, prove that the technology works. Adjusters have very difficult jobs. And so regardless of what your solution is, you need to prove to them that it works and makes their life easier, not harder. A lot of times new technology unintentionally actually creates more friction than it resolves. But 10 years from now, I think it'll be very similar, to be quite honest.
That's really interesting. I think I'm hearing more and more of that lately, right? There was the threats of, you know, disruption and transformation. But I do think more and more now, and it's funny because it comes at the exact same time that hundreds of millions of dollars are being pumped into billions of dollars in valuations of insurtechs for the first time ever, really. I mean, it was not to the extent it is now, the valuations and the amount of money going into the Hippos, the Lemonades, the Metro Miles, the Kins, of course, you know, the leaders in the space. It's funny to hear that now, that we think that they'll be able to keep up and adapt and be able to compete.
It's good for the consumer, for the customer, right? Competition is going to drive change within the industry. And so that's really important, right? We've seen it accelerate. 10 years ago, when we first got into the industry, insurance carriers were just starting to understand that the customer experience matters. And so they've done a good job over the course of the last 10 years in enhancing the customer experience from a claims perspective, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I mean, it just shows the balanced, you know, the balanced approach, and you have been able to witness. I mean, when you guys first came in, it was, you know, you were the first, right, trying to digitize that front end.
And really, one of the biggest changes we've seen is the emergence of the gig economy, right? From the insurance perspective, between the Ubers of the world, the car sharing platforms, the Airbnbs, these were new risks that didn't exist before. And very quickly, insurance carriers sort of leaned into it and started writing that business. So it's been interesting. And from a litigation perspective, I'm sure you know, it's a different animal, the gig economy versus, you know, a standard personal or even commercial claim.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, right? Because there's such an influx into that industry, and we know people in that industry. I think that if I recall correctly, a lot of those firms are creating captives, or to some extent, and self-insured, you know, trying to self-insure to some extent. I think the insurers had a difficult time driving the right amount of rate for that book of business. Have you seen that too?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we saw in the early days is the need for the captives for those gig economy platforms was there because there was no data for insurance carriers to assess that risk. And so they were sort of watching it and letting that data aggregate. But now you're seeing more insurance carriers starting to take on the risk themselves because they understand it. Now they're seeing the data and they're having a better time understanding it.
And have you followed the embedded insurance movement at all, where a lot of people are talking about, like Tesla, for example, doing their own insurance and, again, mostly tech and data driven. The idea being, A, there's theoretically money to be made there, but B, that they could do it better and less expensive than the competitors and give them that experience, that full, full cycle experience with Tesla. Have you heard anything about that? And what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it makes sense, right? If when you go purchase a car, why not purchase the insurance at the same time? It makes life that much easier. People, why isn't everything like that, right? You go buy a product from Apple and you can get Apple Care, which is effectively insurance right there and then. You don't have to search around for it. So I think, it'll be interesting, especially what Tesla's doing, because, they're also creating the entire, they're trying to create sort of their own ecosystem, if you will, from, being a carrier to having their own repair facilities to really managing the experience end to end for their owners. So I'm curious to see how it develops, because they've tried a few times, but it's really a let's wait and see.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's tough. It's going to be tough for them to be able to spend that effort and resource from does it make money as an insurance company? But I think to your point, they're trying to create that whole ecosystem, and if it's a better experience and it leads to people buying more Teslas. So maybe insurance sort of becomes a dirty word and it's really just about the user experience, right? And then it becomes table stakes for these car companies to deliver that. And I think that kind of makes a little bit of sense from an embedded standpoint. So you're right. It's they want to own the environment, probably not because they think they're going to make as much money in insurance as they do, selling software driven cars, but I think that's right. They're trying to own that whole user experience. Why not?
And they have the technology. Maybe they will be the first at scale, right? Have a touchless claims experience because the car talks, right? The car is talking and they're listening from a data perspective.
That makes sense. It's funny because, what could an insurance company do about that, right? Like, I had Nick Lamparelli on here from Insurance Nerds, now from the Yellow Book Road podcast, and everybody knows him. He's everywhere in InsurTech. And he was saying that if you're a policyholder and you're paying, $500 for auto insurance or $500 for home insurance, and the insurance company is not investing in technology, or not, going all in on technology or user experience. He brought up a really good point to me about that I hadn't thought about, because he reminded me that they are sitting on all this surplus, right? They're sitting on all this funds that they invest for a couple percent. And by not investing in claims user experience, by not investing in subrogation, actually, that was one of the things that, we're getting money back for the policyholders, the way he phrased it. By not investing in some of that, they really are, it does actually kind of irk you a little bit. It's interesting because you think about it, well, they're just sort of break even. Insurance companies, they're not break even, but it's a part of your fix. They want to make whatever, 3-5% a year and then invest that, make another, 3-5%. But then when you bring it up that way and you realize they're sitting on all that money that could be invested in a better policyholder experience. And then when Elon comes in with a 10 times better product because he's spending money to that the insurance companies weren't spending, they just weren't investing in, it sort of makes you feel a little bit differently about it.
Yeah, I mean, retention is key, right? Like your claims experience is only as good as your last best experience. So these days, right, there's a lot of good customer experience to be had, whether it's taking an Uber during COVID, right? ordering food, it's easy. But filing an insurance claim is not as easy as that. And if you have a poor claims experience, you know, I forget what the number is, something like 60% of people that have a bad claims experience are going to switch carriers. And so the insurance carrier is in control of the claims experience.
Wow. I haven't heard that before. And those 60% of people also, a lot of them are going to want to sue the insurance company, right? If it was really bad, they're going to be incentivized to sue. They're going to be frustrated because companies just don't do that anymore, particularly with something that's like really important, like a house or a car. Like, it's just not a matter of calling back and forth and being forwarded to four different people. And to your point, I mean, I think they're actually have gotten a lot better at this because they've had to, but this is why I wanted to have you on, because I feel like this is really valuable for adjusters to understand and attorneys to understand that this is where all these factors really come from. Full circle though, I think one of the first things you said, if insurers were able to be more proactive, as you mentioned, then that would reduce claims, reduce litigation. I mean, it sounds like you're not 100% bullish on the industry's ability to do that anytime soon. So everybody listening to the podcast can, you know, breathe a breath of relief that they're not going to be out of a job because it's going to be a button click. But talk to me a little bit more about what's proactive claims handling.
Proactive claims handling. So, you know, a lot of claims handling is rooted in the diary. You talk to a customer or a claimant, you set a diary for 2 weeks out, 1 week out, whatever that may be. Communications, documents could be coming into the claim file, but they're not being addressed as they come in. They're being addressed based on when that diary was set. And so proactive claims handling is about handling the right claim at the right time, keeping claims moving forward. If you request a piece of information from your customer to aid the claims process and they give it to you right away, you know, the expectation today, especially with like things like text messaging, is customers want instant gratification. I sent you something, now you have to send me something right back, right? And so that's what it's really about is how can we help insurance carriers, give them the tools to enable a proactive claims process. And it starts, I think, even before the claim, whether it's home or property. If you put some technology in your customer's hand to document the condition of their home or their vehicle, when that first claim comes in and the adjuster has access to those photos easily and can make a very quick determination, yes, this is new damage, it's not pre-existing, and settle the claims that should be settled quickly, that's a great customer experience. You know, you still hear a lot of times, well, I already sent you that, right? Your insurance company will request documents or information that you've already provided them, but they're just not easily accessible to the claims handling. And so it's trying to understand, I think, at FNOL, how can we send this claim down the right path the first time, right? Based on characteristics, based on all the different variables. But claims are tough. Claims are very difficult. There are a lot of things that are out of the insurance carrier's control, whether it's state regs, the customer itself, cats, the environment, the weather, the climate is going crazy. So it is, what they do is very difficult, but there is now technology that will enable them to do better, to achieve their goals. They're getting there for sure.
That's a great perspective. I think when we first got into this, it was, like, wait, how could this be? This is ridiculous. I'm sure when you first looked at claims, you were like, this is awful. And then as you started to, and same with me for claims litigation, so much so that I, risked my whole career on it, but, and as did you, but you do have a level of respect for how challenging it actually is in play, right? I mean,
it's such a difficult job, and, adjudicating a claim, an adjuster has one of the most difficult jobs, I think, out there. Because not only do they have to be empathetic, right? They are dealing with very traumatic losses for their end customers a lot of the time. So they have to make them, their customers, feel okay. But at the same time, they have to adjudicate the claim based on the policy and the circumstances and the context. And so when you add that on top of having to work out of multiple systems and all the other things they do, like, let's, you know, let's empower adjusters to adjudicate. That's really what they should be doing. It's tough.
Yeah, I think we've given up on the fact, you know, on the idea that technology is going to be able to do really anything to remove adjusters. It's more about giving them more time, to close the case, right? Instead of doing all the clerical work, which we're all prone to do, right? We see that on the same side, in the litigation side. Like, it's very easy to just respond to your emails. And that's what our nature, you know, that's where 80% of us, our instincts are just responding to emails. And so, yeah, the idea is not replace anybody. That's not possible in claims or in litigation. But the idea is, if you could just take that 80% of manual effort off their plate, give them, you know, different alerts, different triggers, then they'll be more successful. So it's an evolution, right, from a technology side to come to that realization.
The art of putting together the claim documentation or the claim extract, right, to hand over to their counsel or to their outside attorneys when cases do go to litigation, like, that itself is very difficult to do. It should be easy. It should be click of the button. Here's everything you need. Here are all of the artifacts structured, right? Here's all the documentation. But it's not that easy right now.
Yeah. So what about if there's someone listening to this, they're an adjuster, maybe they're an attorney, maybe they're an executive director, something like that. That's where we were 10 years ago or whatever. For me, it was like 7 or 8 years ago. And they're saying, actually, I think I can help solve that problem. You know, they may be, they may feel like there are transformational advancements that can be made. What advice do you have for somebody sitting in the adjuster side or sitting in the attorney side? Maybe you've seen experience of people come out of that and become valuable people at Snapsheet or elsewhere. Like, what advice do you have for somebody that thinks they have an idea or thinks they have an opportunity to change the claims industry or the legal industry or something like that?
I think run with it and question everything. I think it's, the insurance in particular is an industry of, well, we do it this way because we've always done it this way. But people rarely ask, well, why are you doing it that way? And a lot of the times you have to peel the onion back to understand the answer. It's because of, dependencies on legacy infrastructure that they have to overcome. There's a myriad of answers. And so a lot of the times that original problem might not be the actual problem. It might be a symptom of the actual problem. So I would encourage anyone with an idea, really dissect it, try to understand it, and cure the disease, right? Don't cure the symptoms. That's what I say. There's a ton of opportunity, especially in the claim space.
There are a ton.
Right? Never be satisfied. Things can always be better. And that's universal.
Every adjuster is a $1 million business, right? They're shelling out so much money in claims payments and expenses. They learn so much so fast. And I would just add to that, I definitely agree that go ahead and particularly early in your career, just start challenging the status quo. Why are we doing things this way? But yeah, don't assume that your original idea has any value, because it's like you said, it's probably tons of dependencies and there is some core disease beneath it. And then the question is whether you got a good idea for that too, because that's, I think, what everybody's been trying to resolve. I would add to that, and this is something I've learned from being able to talk to you, reach out to people, right? So reach out to Alex, you could reach out to me, reach out to anybody at any of the tech companies that you work with And they'll talk to you all day about, or a lot of them will, about what the issue is. It's in everybody's best interest to actually get that to the forefront, because the insurance company will be better, the vendor will be better, or the prospective vendor, you know, might get a new opportunity. So, I mean, I've gotten a lot of value from, you know, picking up the phone, calling you. And I think there's, you know, I think, right. You agree. I mean, you could talk to anybody in this industry.
Oh man, I learn something new every day, right? It's endless. Insurance is so complicated. And so it's my favorite part. I love especially talking to adjusters and picking their brains, understanding what they're dealing with, why things are the way they are. It's exciting. And that's people forget about insurance. It's such a great opportunity, this industry, because you don't really think about it if you're not part of the industry. You know, we're both kind of outsiders, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, whoa, there's a lot that can be done here to make it better. But at the same time, insurance carriers are very important, right? To protect us. So it's a great industry, and I encourage everybody, if you have an idea, run with it, try it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. People have never been more open to it. If you don't feel that way, you just haven't talked to the right person. Cause, I know I'll hear you out. That's for sure. And I'm sure Alex would too. There's definitely the more information, the better. Yeah. Well, I mean, we could talk for hours as we have in the past. But I really appreciate that. I mean, I think the adjusters and attorneys now know why I would bring on a director of innovation, you know, from a claims tech provider. It's because these things are evolving and they're going to have direct impact on our work as adjusters and as attorneys in the claims department and the legal department. You know, I think it's really important to hear from somebody that's helping shape the future of what those claim files and what that process and what that experience is going to look like soon, and already is to a big extent. And I also think that the journey of, you know, first employee at a two-person company to now, how many employees does Snapsheet have? Over 300?
Yeah. Yeah. Right around that number.
The VP innovation there is inspiring to all of us that there are problems to be solved, and there is value and reward to those who go through the grind of trying to solve them. So I really appreciated your insights as always, and I'm sure that the audience did too. The claims process is a tricky and difficult one. It's nice to hear somebody talk about it constructively, but also fairly. If somebody wants to keep up with Snapsheet or with Alex and all those different things you're working on, how would you recommend they do that?
Yeah, you can find Snapsheet or myself on LinkedIn. You can go to our website, snapsheetclaims.com, or just Google Snapsheet. That's always the easiest.
Great. Well, hey, thanks again. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Let's do it again sometime soon, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Wes.